wander there while the middle class is going under, when the ones above them gotta cover and come to collect. And many have no access to banking, making payments or saving, so more fees are taken. And every day the gatekeepers are trying to stop change. We cannot wait. Welcome to the blockchain.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Monday, 5.05 p.m. to 6 p.m. And it immediately follows Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew. Talking all things markets, as the aptly named show is called. And we have with us, as usual, well, of course, that music belongs to just two people, and only one of them ever comes on this show, and that, of course, is the Andrew of Mark and Andrew, or our Andy.
Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Henry.
Yes. Doing it a little bit differently this morning. And
this morning?
Yes. I'm doing it differently this afternoon, too. That's introducing you. But we have the weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, and more here today, immediately following Talking Markets. So as I said, everything Talking Markets, and then more specifically, everything Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, and blockchain news and more. And actually, well, I'll tell you in a second, we're expanding the horizon here. But first off, what happened this week? Crisco. Yes, and that you...
Is it like an oil?
It is...
Blue flour and it makes a pie.
I didn't get to the picks of the week on Talking Markets because Mark and Andrew monopolized that. But Crisco, that is your pick of the week here. But what happened this week? Well, crypto custodian Bax chief executive Kelly Loeffler has reportedly been picked by Governor Brian Kemp to serve in the U.S. Senate. And we'll tell you more of what that means in just a moment. A California federal court.
Court?
Okay. We're going to take a moment.
Drink
I'm
some
going
water,
to take a deep
have
breath.
A beer.
No, I'm not going to touch that water. I'm going to just reevaluate my breath control here. And a California federal court has affirmed the validity of the United States Internal Revenue Service's request for data from... Can I go more than 10 words without stumbling over my tongue? Ah. Let me try one more time, folks. I don't even know if I should fix this in post-production because I should just show my faults right out there in front of everyone. A California federal court has affirmed the validity of the United States Internal Revenue Service's request for data from crypto exchange Bitstamp. I got through that, and I'm changing my whole delivery where I only talk three or four words.
At a time.
At a time. A new bill in Germany could enable banks to support the sale and custody. I'm like Captain Kirk of Bitcoin now. And custody of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies by 2020 and to explore a new world.
The central bank?
We'll get to it.
All right.
Don't. That's going to take me to speak more than three or four words. You're already stumbling-tonguing me. See, and you don't want to be stumbling-tonguing.
Just stumbling.
Facial recognition is a way of life in China. How
soon the United States
will the U.S. follow suit?
Oh, they've already got it.
Yeah. We're going to tell you more about that. And just smile at the camera. All right. Well, let me go unscripted here for a moment.
At least they're safe in here because all the cameras are analog.
By the way, Andy has brought this giant mic into the studio.
It's giant, isn't it?
Yes, but it won't stay upright. It just keeps dropping there. Isn't there something to make it?
There we go.
There you go. That's the biggest mic I have ever seen in the studio.
I can't believe it. When I saw it, I was like,
trying
damn.
To what it reminds me of. let's see. I guess it's, it's sort of like a thumbs up.
Yeah.
For reviews. You get, we like the movie, we give it a few of these.
It looks like, what's the deplorables? What was the movie?
The Impossibles?
No, the ones with the little guys, the yellow guys.
Wizard of Oz?
No, I mean, you know which one I'm talking about.
Oh.
The little yellow guys that wears the glasses.
Yes.
What is that?
Despicable.
Despicables. The Despicables.
No, they're not despicable. The movie is Despicable Me.
So it looks like a thin Despicable. It's got the legs.
It had legs and was yellow and talked and was
And put some glasses on it.
All right. Well, what's going on with Bitcoin? Before we get into these news stories, I was supposed to gap up today to fill the gap on the futures. And
I don't understand all that futures gapping stuff. I mean, Bitcoin's 24/7. You know, generally a gap is like,
I'm back in all cash because all I know is anytime I make any position, it just moves $200 the other way.
Are you back in all cash?
Yeah. Well, this is when it runs
to 12,000.
Pardon me?
This is when it runs to 12,000. Every time I get to all cash,
I'll catch it by 11,000.
Yeah, there you go. Just in time for the next pullback.
I need to listen to myself. And not myself that gives me the bad advice. Listen to myself that gives me the good advice, which is the good advice is I want to see it go sideways for an extended period of time, not
it
6 hours.
It has been trading sideways for an extended period of time.
No, it's been...
It hasn't really
done much.
It hasn't
traded sideways since it was at 4,000. It's up and down. And he's got a chart here on his computer. You can make Y-axis get bigger and the X-axis get bigger.
It looks pretty flat line to me.
You can make it look any way you want.
That's pretty sideways, huh?
Yeah, because you've shrunk the Y-axis
you can make
to
it
scale
really
to
look,
the flat line.
Now you make it look like a EKG chart.
Yeah, all right. So what's going on?
It's just in a tough spot.
Seeking Crypto is telling their customers?
You know, just sit off and just be patient. Once it took out that 8,500 level, he saw some selling momentum increase. So you still have a short-term bearish momentum. Is this a lower high or the beginning of a higher low in the shorter term? We don't know. In the broad term, this is still you got to keep the broader perspective, especially if you're an investor and you're not day trading or you're not swing trading. It really doesn't look like much has happened. I mean, there's the monthly chart. It's coming back to retest this broad trend line, and it's really not doing much.
What is that trend line?
That goes all the way back to 2000.
Is it a moving average? Is it?
No, it's just a trend line, simple trend line.
Just drawing a line from the bottom dips?
You know how often, for years, that's all I traded, was just simple trend lines.
And your life was simpler then.
And it was very simple. Then you start to go, I'm going to advance into Fibonacci and Elliott Wave. And then you really get distorted and you count
too
much on
them. So how do your results compare to back when you were living the simple life?
Well, I still use the simple things, stay with the trend, and the trend is, trend is your friend until it bends. And I think you're in the stage that we call
country western songs.
Disbelief, yeah. I think we're in a phase called disbelief. I even got it marked on my chart, so it must be true. It says disbelief here. So you had to throw in the towel, you had the excitement, now you got the disbelief.
Well, let me tell you something very profound. For the price to go up, we need buyers.
Yes.
And where are we going to get those buyers?
Well, you got to remember, you don't only need buyers. There's a small, limited amount of float out there. And as you have the halving coming up, there's going to be even a smaller amount of float coming into the market every day. So, is people,
But if we got a smaller pool of buyers, that's not good.
I don't think you have a smaller pool of buyers.
We need some real chaotic countries in this world for people to...
Jack Dorsey's over in Africa right now.
I hear Nigeria is very pro-crypto.
Absolutely. So, you just got to give things time. And if people want action, usually those big runs happen in such a short period of time, and then the rest of the time you're just waiting. And we're in the waiting game right now.
Well, we don't have to wait anymore. This story has it all. It's got crypto. It's got high finance. It's got world-class politics. It's got a beautiful woman as the feature protagonist here. And we're going to
have a pickup truck in it tomorrow?
It probably does, because it's coming out of Georgia.
Country Western song there.
Yes. Well, what am I talking about? Well, crypto custodian Bakkt's chief executive, Kelly Loeffler, you've heard us talk about her many times in the, seems like decades, but it's only been about a year or two, that we've been waiting for the Bakkt Bitcoin futures market to launch. Well,
it's been 2 years now.
Yeah, it's launched now. The volume's going up. And by the way, if you didn't
what
know.
What is the volume?
I've got it down farther. I'll be able to quote that for you in a second, but I'm still laying the groundwork of this important and life-changing story.
Kelly Hatton.
At least for Kelly, it's a life-changing story. Anyway, has reportedly been... Oh, and the other part I was going to say is she is also the wife of the owner and, I guess, chairman of the board of
New York
Intercontinental Exchange, ICE. That owns the New York Stock Exchange and other exchanges, including Bakkt. All right. So she's been picked by Governor Brian Kemp of Georgia to serve in the U.S. Senate until the special election in November 2020. Now, Loeffler will likely be asked next week to serve as a replacement for Johnny Isaacson, who has announced plans to vacate his seat at the end of the month, according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And several senior GOP officials. Senator Isaacson has some health problems that he says will not be allowing him to continue to serve his constituents. And Atlanta's local news outlet, the same Atlanta Journal-Constitution, reported that this, and if nominated, Bakkt's CEO will become just the second woman to serve in the United States Senate from Georgia. Furthermore, Loeffler could also finance GOP activities with her personal fortune, which the outlet suggests would break fundraise. I don't know if you just tap in your own fortune, how is that breaking the? You could break spending records with your fortune.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't hear people talking about Michael Bloomberg. Well, he's breaking fundraising efforts. He just stuck $50 million in a bank account.
That's for him, that chump change.
I called myself up, and I said, hey, Mike, we got to change things. Mike, I need $50 million. And Mike said to Mike, you can have that $50 million. So,
I think it was more like he called up Jamie, and Jamie said, oh, yeah, I'll just transfer that right over from your Swiss bank account.
Yeah. That would be a... Oh.
That never happens.
The presidential election. That's a hole we don't want to go down. But we will get into some presidential interaction here with Ms. Loeffler. Mrs. Loeffler. That's not her married name. That's her maiden name. Yeah. All right. Anyway, in an apparent effort to try and obtain Republican approval, Loeffler says she wants to strengthen the border, shut down drug and human trafficking, lower health care costs, protect the national interest. If chosen, I will stand with President Trump, Senator David Perdue, the senior senator from Georgia, to keep America great. All right, so sounds like she's on board with the Republican agenda. But there's trouble in Georgia. Yes. Various party leaders, including President Trump, reportedly pressured the governor to choose U.S. Representative Doug Collins instead, who is a well-known conservative, and nobody's questioning his conservative bona fide credentials. The president and many of his followers are not sold on Loeffler, viewing her as too moderate. The outlet also reported that Kemp...
moderate?
I know you're chomping at the bit on this, but we'll get to it in just a second. I only got a couple paragraphs here. With the president and Loeffler last week to obtain Trump's approval for the Senate seat. All right. So, Loeffler's allies say that she will help bring suburban women, women in general, but especially suburban women, back into the Republican fold in the 2020 election if she's the sitting senator. Loeffler could also use her own personal fortune to finance the campaign. Not only does she run Bakkt, but she is also a co-owner of Atlanta's WNBA franchise. So she's got that whole...
She's got the whole women's thing
going.
Me Too movement.
Women? We aren't women, but I was trying to think of that Helen Reddy song. I am woman.
I am woman. Okay.
Hear me roar. Yes. Well, it maybe didn't fit what I was trying to say there. Anyway, and, of course, she also has a husband that owns Intercontinental Exchange, the behemoth, as it says, Atlanta-based financial firm. So,
there's some money there.
Yeah. So let's look at the positives here. I mean, just objectively not worrying about the policy aspect. Governor Kemp was in a, for those who would remember 2018, was in an extremely tight gubernatorial race with Stacey Adams.
Mm-hmm.
And
who won the election?
Kemp won the election. And
oh, no, she didn't.
No. Well, I mean, there was all kinds of controversial. But it was
it was a very tight election.
For an African-American woman running against the Secretary of State, which was his previous job, I mean, it was exceptionally tight. And so he's got to be thinking, well, that was close.
Yeah.
How do we get a little stronger here as we go forward? Mm-hmm. And so he thinks, well, our weakness, just talking polling and demographics, is the woman, the gender gap, as they say. So he finds a rich woman, which who doesn't want to find a rich woman?
Yeah, I know.
So and puts her out there. And, you know, I think that's also a good strategy. Now, it also doesn't hurt that she and her husband have written a couple six-figure checks to the Republican Party to show that they are good Republicans.
We're on board, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so not only will there be fortune be financing her, they're going to be able to help some other people around the ticket. Right. So
feeding the poor.
A Republican congressman, in particular, is the one I want to point out first of all here. You know, U.S. Representative Matt Gaetz, he appears a lot on Fox, but he also goes on some of the other stations because he likes to mix it up. He's sort of bombastic in his delivery. And just as an aside, having done talk radio for so long and doing political talk radio for so long before I started doing this, over the last decade and a half, last 15 years, it has turned either side, Democrat or Republican, as they come on and I see them on cable TV, it's like they're all auditioning to be a talk show host. They're all trying to get the sound bite, the hotline, to compel. It's almost like that whole engagement thing that Facebook, you know, we got to engage. We got to get a reaction. We don't want people to just sit there and listen to us and say, you know, he's a good, that would
that's
be a good person to,
yeah,
to vote
see
for.
That. Yeah.
No, he had a good line. That's how our basis of how we vote for it now. Whichever side.
Well, you go back 20 years. There wasn't much difference. I mean, there wasn't much difference other than a few topics
between
the parties. There was a lot less difference, I should say. And now it's become so polarized. I had to tell my mom, just stay off Facebook.
Well,
don't get in those Facebook debates.
Again, not picking sides here, because either side will do this.
Well, it's
your fault. We now have gotten gerrymandering, which existed, you know, for hundreds of years, to such a science with computer programming that, you know, it takes a major shift in the electorate or a major issue to move them. They have cut and sliced and diced every state so that you're pretty much done set. Once you get in, you're set to stay there. But let's go back to Matt Gaetz.
So.
Because what I found this incredible is that this Republican from Florida, the congressman, is getting into a fight with the governor of Georgia, the Republican governor of Georgia, with a Republican congressman. So it's not even like a Republican congressman from Georgia getting in a fight. So this is Representative Matt Gaetz. Quote, if you substitute your judgment for the president's, maybe you need a primary in 2022. Let's see if you can win one without Trump. So our Florida congressman is suggesting, I mean, that is not a good idea if you're a Republican, that you want a sitting governor to be primaried by another Republican and have to spend the money in a primary and become weaker against the Democratic challenger who made it pretty close or whoever next one may be. I mean, that's just shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have to say that Republicans do that a lot. The Democrats seem to stick together more.
So, and I guess this was done on Twitter, which is how all intelligent discussion is done these days.
You know, if it's not on Twitter, it probably doesn't deserve to be in the press.
And this isn't even the complete quote. I did see this elsewhere. I think I may have it below. The top Kemp advisor, the governor of Georgia, shot back on that. Let me just see if I have that down a little bit lower here. And no, I don't. Oh, well. Yeah, the advisor said, "We don't know you, and we don't care what you think." And he also, there was a line there, "Just take your Pokemon cards and
go home."
Go home, yes. Anyway, Loeffler's allies have tried to allay those fears by pointing to her recent contributions of Polka National Committee, including $200,000 checks she and her husband wrote just this month. So that's $200,000 in 1 month, just to show that they were good soldiers. And that was to participate in a Trump round table in Atlanta. Okay, so we beat that up pretty good about just the political strategy. But what does it mean for Bitcoin? It's got to be a positive.
Yeah,
if there's a U.S.
Bitcoin.
Senator whose livelihood and part of her fortune depends on the success of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we do have some congressmen that we've heard before.
Like
Patrick McHenry,
a
Republican, I think, out of North Carolina, and some others. And there's a California Democrat that we might actually have some bipartisanism pro-Bitcoin, and we can move into Senate. Because Senator Mark Warner,
he was the
minority member
guys.
Of some committee they're having hearings. He was positive about Bitcoin. Well, I want to take a second right now, not to do a political break per se, but I do want to go into a story about the latest about the IRS. And before I do that, I do need to recommend Crypto Taxman, Josh Sands. You've heard him here on the show. You can go to CryptoTaxman.us. I have used his services. I'm glad I did. It gave me a lot of peace of mind, and it's going to make filing my income taxes so much easier this year when the IRS now has direct questions that wants to know if you've held cryptocurrency and traded it or sent it to anybody. You know,
I say, what do you mean by have? Possess.
Well, it's buy, send, trade. You know, maybe if you just had it, I don't know. I've got it. We've heard.
Theoretically, there's something out there.
I've heard of Bitcoin.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
Someone hacked and threw like 10 Bitcoin in my account. I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, it just appeared. It's just make-believe money anyway. Anyway, California federal court affirmed the validity of the U.S. IRS request for data from a crypto exchange Bitstamp, which is not in this country, in connection with the individual tax reporting case. Now, this is like a taxpayer that just doesn't know when to leave well enough alone. Per a November 25th filing, the court found that 5 of the 6 arguments presented against the IRS lack merit. In other words, they lack merit. It means the IRS is right 5 out of 6 times. Has conceded on one point that the tax agency summons was indeed overbroad. So on the point that says you're asking for too much, they agreed with the taxpayer, but on all the other stuff, it's like give the IRS what they want.
Yeah.
Anyway, the taxpayer was William Zitke, and he had initially informed the IRS of his own mistake in a tax return that had alleged. You know, that sounds like you're doing something noble. Oh, I made a mistake. Let me pay more taxes. No, it wasn't quite like that. A mistake in his tax return that had allegedly overestimated his long-term capital gains in 2016. So he said he made too much money, and now he wants a refund. So he sought the refund out, and as the agency investigated, they required him to provide extensive data on his history of Bitcoin holdings and transactions, which, and I will now in parentheses say, if you had just let it go, you would not have this problem, because you knew you were trading Bitcoin, and you still wanted a refund on the other stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Zitke alleged to have failed to inform the IRS of his use of the crypto exchange Bitstamp prompting the agency to summon data from the... First of all, if you get... If you're in this situation, have a professional talk to the IRS
yes.
for you. Because we can just check off the things that he has done
you know,
wrong.
It's funny, real quick on that. I know somebody that
you've
had...
You've had interactions with the IRS?
I know somebody that had an interaction
yeah,
with
have
the IRS, owed like three years of back taxes. And the accountant said, don't mention anything in there. We'll get this all settled. You know, don't mention anything else. Just stick with the tax money on your gains. And, of course, he gets in there, and he's getting all argumentative with the IRS and this and that. And they settled on $30,000, which was a blessing, you know, for what he owed. And then he goes, well, what about my employees' taxes? And they go, oh, you had employees? Some people...
Why did he bring that up?
Because it was in the heat of the argument and this and that, and he brought up his employees, and they were like, oh, you have employees? And I guess the tax accountant wanted to hit him. Why did you bring that up? So then he had to go back and pay, you know, you got to pay, then they, of course, went after the employees, too, but you got to pay 50% of their taxes.
Oh.
And the fines for that are not cheap. And you're arguing with them. So they're not like, oh, yeah, that's a good guy. Let's cut him a break. No.
I think it was about 30-some-odd years ago, probably 35 years ago, I realized that you really have no power against the IRS, so you best just be happy when you get
happy.
A good deal.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it's like my old boss used to tell me, choose your battles wisely.
Yes.
You don't have to be in every battle. And the IRS is just not one to be in.
Maybe we should tell Congressman Matt Gaetz that
yes,
story, too.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Anyway, they wanted to summon data from the exchange about his holdings, as well as public keys and blockchain addresses associated with his transactions. Yes, you should have kept your mouth shut, Mr. Zietke. He questioned the IRS's actions on six grounds. Firstly, that it issued a summons to Bitstamp in bad faith. Well, that one didn't fly. Secondly, that it seeks data that is irrelevant in its audit of the petitioner's reporting. That was the one that passed. I mean, the court agreed with them that, you know, because once you tell them, they're going to ask for everything they can.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to take an inch. They're going to take a mile
yeah.
of your data. Thirdly, it already possesses the information that it seeks from Bitstamp. Well, evidently it didn't because the court ruled in IRS on that one. The three subsequent arguments claimed that the IRS allegedly made administrative missteps and, more crucially, has violated his reasonable expectation of privacy in Bitstamp's records. No.
Okay.
Why do you think that? I mean, he also argued that the U.S. government cannot guarantee the security of any records it receives from the crypto exchange. Okay. So.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, you're invading my privacy by asking for the information from the exchange I was using that I was trying to keep from telling you about.
And then I was asking you to refund me my money from.
Yeah. And I don't think you guys can keep a secret.
Yeah.
You know, I don't trust you. I don't trust you guys to be secure. Anyway, it's as I said, there was some stuff that was irrelevant.
You could have said he could have been from Florida.
Anyway, the court has refuted all other arguments, and as we said. And then... but just by the way, Zietke has made a similar attempt previously to quash an IRS summons issued to Coinbase, which was strongly contested by the IRS. So he evidently lost on the Coinbase one. Why don't you just cut your losses?
You know, there's a time you just turn around, raise the white flag, and go home.
Okay. We're going to try and go through these next two pretty quickly because I want to get to the facial recognition stuff. Sort of
yeah.
getting into a broader horizon here on the show because as blockchain becomes more prevalent, it does get integrated with AI and some other things like that and identity. That all ties together. Anyway, a couple U.S. lawmakers are looking to classify stablecoins as securities, a.k.a. Libra, by Facebook. Adopting fiat-pegged stablecoins rather than a single token. The lawmakers sponsoring the bill say stablecoins should be classified as securities to protect consumers. If past stablecoin projects like Libra will potentially fall under the purview of stringent U.S. securities regulations. Libra says the stablecoin is just a commodity. So she's also moving forward with developing the payments, and we all know about that. The two Texas representatives, Lance Gooden and Sylvia Garcia, have proposed a piece of legislation called the Managed Stable Coins Our Securities Act of 2019. It has bipartisan support and could place an even greater regulatory burden. Well, the thing about Libra is that when they laid it out, when Facebook and Libra laid it out, they said we're going to have a basket of currencies and short-term instruments like, I don't know, T-bills or notes or whatever, and in different currencies, you're going to have
pretty much an ETF.
Yeah. And so now they're saying, well, that's the same thing as like corn futures.
Yeah, no.
No, that's not going to work. So Libra, I would just say to summarize this, probably is not going to be available anytime soon.
It's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is for permission. Mm-hmm. Facebook should have just came out with Libra coin.
Oh.
And then he could have sat down in front of, oh, yeah, we didn't, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Has anybody else come out with stable coins?
Well, I mean, they're stable coin. You know, Facebook doing it's a whole different animal. I mean, you have such that broad reach. You know, it's not like J.P. Morgan.
Where do all those other stable coins get launched?
Yeah, well, do you bank with J.P. Morgan?
No.
I don't either. And so how many people bank with J.P. Morgan?
Not too many.
I don't even know a J.P. Morgan, around here. So, you know, but Facebook?
Yeah.
Everybody has a Facebook account.
Yes.
Even if you don't want one, they have one on you.
Even if you don't have it in your name, you...
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Until they have facial recognition to make sure you are.
That's right.
All right. Well, let's go with one happy banking story here.
All right.
A new bill in Germany, and by the way, our sponsor, Bike Federal, Leonard Lopen, the chief technical officer over there, as well as the CEO...
CFO? CTO.
Yes.
One of those.
This one's for you, Leonard. A new bill in Germany could enable banks to support Lee Hansen is who I was trying to say.
Yeah,
I was misfiring in my brain again. I'd like to have all hour here. He's the CEO. A new bill in Germany could enable banks to support the sale and custody of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies by 2020. So that's like if the Bank of America on the corner, you could go buy your
mm-hmm.
cryptocurrency there, and they could hold custody.
Yeah.
And when the IRS wanted to know your addresses and private keys, Bank of America just told them.
Yeah.
No question about that. Starting in 2020, financial institutions will be able to offer their customers online banking virtually at the touch of a button, along with classic securities such as stocks and bonds, as well as cryptocurrencies. Sort of what Fidelity is supposedly going to be able to do, and what TD Ameritrade was looking to do before they became an acquisition of Charles Schwab, and now we don't know what's going on with them. You know, if E-Trade was working on that too, I would move that forward. E-Trade needs to do something to differentiate themselves and create some demand. Anyway, Sven Hildebrandt, the head of the Distributed Ledger Consulting, was quoted: Germany is well on its way to becoming a crypto heaven. The German legislature is playing a pioneering role in the regulation of cryptocurrency.
There we go.
Yeah. And the Association of German Banks, a major lobbying group representing over 200 financial institutions, is reported to be supporting the bill. So evidently they think they can make some money on it.
Yeah.
And arguing that supervised financial institutions have the experience and risk mechanisms in place to safeguard client assets, which is sort of the opposite of what everybody says over here in the U.S.
Yeah.
In October, the association released a paper arguing that the European economy needs a programmable digital euro. All right. Well, I guess we can all move to Germany and...
It's just going to take one or two countries like Germany to do it, and then you'll start to see it widespread.
Yes. All right, we're going to go to a break. Come back on the other side, and we'll tell you to be sure and comb your hair because facial recognition is going to be here very soon, almost any place you go in the United States of America. You're listening to the Henry Rain Show.
Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Bite Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Bite Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Bite Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Bite Federal ATM near you. Go to BiteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's BiteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on the Henry Rain Show.
It's on the way up. It's on the way up. It's on the way up.
Well, maybe not all that up, but we are here. That would be, well, actually, that's me, and Andy will be back at the mic in just a moment. But it's the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. It's the second half of the Monday Financial Power Block here on WWPR, immediately after Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew. That's all things markets, all considered, all information that you can use in whatever your choice of trading markets is or are. And here on Henry Rain Show, normally it's a full hour of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, and blockchain, but we are going to expand our horizons, and we'll see how this takes us, and we may get into more disruptive technology, much in the same way Bitcoin and cryptocurrency and blockchain is disruptive. Well, Andy is back at the mic.
He is back,
sir. We're secure. That all the cameras are on and scanning us constantly, doing retina scans and voice patterns, and anybody that comes in here, you better watch out. You better not cry, because we got your data and we're sending it to Santa. China will require telecom operators to collect face scans when registering new phone users at offline outlets starting Sunday, according to the country's...
What?
Yeah. Well, then, you know, when you go buy a phone in China, you got to scan your face. But it's not just a simple scan either, according to the country's Information Technology Authority. Beijing continues to tighten cyberspace controls. The notice said telecom operators should use, quote, artificial intelligence and other technical means to verify people's identities when they take a new phone number.
Is that to verify their identity? Or?
Yes, but when you got your account, didn't you have to show them your driver's license?
Yeah.
And then they scanned it with their retinas.
They scan it.
And they looked at you with their retinas.
Uh-huh.
And they said, okay, you don't look anything like this person. Uh-huh. We'll give it to you if you got your money. Anyway, China Unicom customer service representative. And also, we've had many stories about SIM swapping where people contact these carriers and get them to port over to a new phone without ever showing up to have anything scanned, facial or otherwise. But we'll get to U.S. in a moment. China Unicom customer service representative told Agence France-Presse that the December 1st, quote, portrait matching requirement means customers registering for a new phone number may have to record themselves turning their head and blinking. Now, I think that means your face front will be blinking. Maybe you got to turn sideways and blink, too. Be prepared to blink.
Yeah.
And turn your head. In whatever order they tell you. Though the Chinese government has pushed for real name registration for phone users since at least 20... Don't we have to have real names?
Yeah, we do.
Theoretically. I mean,
mm-hmm. Mine says Samsung.
I've never been asked to blink.
No.
Or turn my head, other than that one time at the physical education for the football physicals when the doctor said turn your head and...
Yeah.
He didn't tell me to blink. But he,
cough.
Yes. Meaning, I don't really believe that. What does the coughing do? We don't have to go into the details.
They're down hernia. Huh. They're looking for a hernia.
Oh, I knew that.
Oh, okay.
But what does the coughing do?
I don't know.
It seems like it would be easier to... anyway. I think we have a phone call. Let's see if we get as exciting a phone call as we did on your show. Caller, you're live on the air.
Hello, this is Michelle Midwest Communications. How are you today?
We're doing great.
Oh,
how are you doing? Right.
And you're live on the radio.
Oh, my gosh, you're live on the radio?
You are live on the radio.
Yes, you called the studio line. What can we do for
you? That's crazy.
It is.
Well, I was actually calling to see how your timeshare is going for you.
Oh, I don't know. You got to come down and visit.
I don't have a timeshare.
Where are you located at?
Say what?
Where are you located at? Our time...
we're calling out of Springfield, Missouri.
Oh, you got to be freezing up there.
Oh, yeah, it's a little bit chilly outside, but not too bad, you know?
See,
a little sunshine.
My timeshare is right on the water, blue ocean, white beaches right behind it.
It'd be a good time for you
oh,
to come
yeah?
visit.
Yeah, you got to come visit.
When is the last time you got out there to use your timeshare?
Every day. I timeshare with my ex-wife. Yeah, my ex-wife. So she doesn't live there. She just comes and visits once in a while. So that's a timeshare.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's a timeshare. When you're divorced three times, you get multiple timeshares.
That's the third one
final?
Oh,
yeah, well, that's true. I mean, you also get multiple alimony payments, right?
No alimony. This is Florida. This is in Missouri. There's no alimony down here. You always marry a woman with more money than you. That's the key. So for all you young guys out there listening in the Tampa Bay area, you always marry a woman with more money. Then you don't have to worry about that alimony stuff. So you're selling timeshares?
What did you say?
Are you selling timeshares?
No, we're not selling timeshares. We're actually just... we're coming out to the area, so we're just... If you qualify, you can actually sit down with Resort Termination Group. But it sounds like you don't qualify. My boss is telling me to get you off the phone. RTG does not buy salary timeshares. They terminate them at the resort and county level. So are you sure there isn't something I can help you with?
Well, you know, do you take Bitcoin?
What is it?
Bitcoin. Do you take Bitcoin?
Bitcoin. We don't take Bitcoin. You have a great day.
Thank you.
You know, those are great phone calls. And all the girls sound young and good looking. And maybe I'm being, you know, I don't know.
Old and hard up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're right on both accounts,
but that was for timeshare terminations, I believe. Is what
I guess so.
Which is a whole new industry on the timeshare.
Is it? What does that mean?
Well, this Thanksgiving, I went up to have Thanksgiving dinner with my ex-wife's family, and my ex-wife and my daughters were there. And they have timeshares in Orlando. And they got her sister got their timeshare because it was in her mother-in-law's name. And it's mandatory that it passes in the estate to the next generation.
Oh, okay.
So, like, I said, you mean they don't have a choice? And that was basically it, you know. It's coming. And when it comes, you're going to pay the annual assessed fee. And you're going to pay the other expenses. So enjoy your timeshare.
But you got to be able to sell it for more than...
Oh, yeah. Everybody's falling over each other to buy a new timeshare.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's...
My sister-in-law, I remember...
Yeah, you would want to buy a week's timeshare for $18,000 or $22,000, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Line me up,
too. You know, in 25 years, you would have made your money back in 10%.
Now, I do have a buddy of mine who owns a couple timeshares, and he enjoys them because he goes to Hawaii, he trades them.
Well, I enjoy this timeshare, too.
Yeah.
But I didn't own it, and I think that's the best way to enjoy it.
How was Thanksgiving with your ex?
Well, it's fine. We get along great.
Yeah, I do, too, with mine.
Oh.
I actually had Thanksgiving with my ex, so.
Yeah. Well, you know. You had children together, didn't you?
Yeah. We get the current ones all upset because, hey, Penny, you want to meet me in the bathroom in 10 minutes?
I don't know about those other two wives you were talking about and how they get along. But anyway, well, let's go back to where we were. We were talking about something like facial recognition. So, and if you try and run from your timeshare obligation, soon facial recognition will catch up with you. And in fact, the Ring doorbells will probably be installed in all the timeshares, so you can watch
you know,
coming
you
and going.
You told me about those Ring doorbells. We did that.
Yeah, we're about to get into that
okay.
now. All right, so the Chinese want real name registration. And so what? We would never be something like
never.
That. We would never have this kind of...
The government wouldn't do it.
Permeated facial recognition.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, in China, you know, in fact, there's a limit on how much you can purchase. All your purchases have to be done with facial recognition. If they're like over the equivalent of about $70 or so, you can't even buy anything. And, of course, we know about the internment or... I don't prison camps or schools or whatever they want to call them over there, where they take their, the Muslim population, they're supposed to have a couple million of them locked up now, helping them with their education.
And did you see in Portland that they were going around, they were marching with Chinese flags?
In protest of what?
What are you protesting? I mean,
I don't know.
You can get a flight over there. It's like $1,100 one way.
Computer sucks.
Go over there and dress up in black and march in the streets there. See what happens.
Okay.
But we digress as usual. Back to the Ring doorbell.
Back to timeshare.
Bite the time. Where is she when you need her?
We were talking about the Ring doorbell. Amazon does not offer the ability to recognize faces and footage on its Ring doorbell cameras. I mean, they say that. That's what they say. Just 1 month after police in Chandler, Arizona, received 25 surveillance cameras for free from the company.
You know, how convenient.
Supporting law enforcement. The government's then assistant chief. Now, I want you to remember this assistant chief. We're not going to get through all the story.
Chandler. So is that Sheriff Joe?
No.
Okay.
I'll tell you about him and who this assistant chief is in just a minute. Discussed using facial recognition on Ring footage at a meeting of the International Associations of Chief of Police. And the slideshow was given there, according to a public records request. In a presentation entitled Leveraging Consumer Surveillance Systems, Jason Sedilla discussed various consumer surveillance devices and platforms. And the Chandler Police is one of over 600 police departments that have signed a contract with Ring. In the contract, the police encourage residents, that's in quotes, to use Ring products in exchange for access to the company's law enforcement portal. We talked about this down in Northport.
Months ago.
I think Brandon Police Department has it. But, you know, this is interesting because I didn't know that part of the contract means they're basically promoters of a particular brand, as opposed to having an open source. You know, regardless of how you think about it, it seems like being an open source and being able to
get everything.
Yeah. Well, no, they want you to pimp the Amazon product, to use the Ring products in exchange for the portal. It allows the officials to request camera footage from residents without receiving a warrant first, so they can pull the data from your cameras when you sign off on
them. Give them permission. Okay. Yeah.
Actually, They pulled the data from Amazon or from Ring, and that way they don't need a warrant for you, and it's all, you know, it's like all those things on the Internet you sign. I agree. Now, you never read anymore, even though back in the day when people had paper things.
Well, you read every line.
You read everything.
Yeah.
No, I just want it now. I agree. Let me get
watch
those videos. Anyway, Sedilla signed a contract on behalf of the department as Assistant Chief of Police in February, about 2 months before he made the presentation. Now, here is the money line in all this.
Okay.
So, Assistant Chief Sedilla was a big proponent of this facial surveillance and the Ring doorbell and the corporate partnership with Amazon. And he's now a corporate services security manager for Intel. Intel semiconductors.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, well, they need experts.
Yeah.
And we talk about the revolving door in a lot of parts of government.
Yep.
Well, here we go. A hardworking assistant police chief makes good. The Chandler Police told BuzzFeed News it has access to facial recognition technology through the Arizona Counterterrorism Information Center, which I imagine has every driver's license photo in it, pretty much, and every mugshot.
Well, now you know, you go to the driver's license and go, okay, let me take your picture. Okay, turn sideways slowly. What?
Well, I haven't had that happen.
I don't mean it. I was just kidding.
Oh, well, I believe anything you tell me.
You know what? It's coming.
That's why I stocked up on Under Armour.
Yeah.
Anyway, a Ring spokesman said, Ring does not use facial recognition technology. Privacy is the utmost importance, and any features we do develop will include strong privacy protections and put our customers in control.
Allegedly.
Just like Facebook.
Yeah.
Anyway... Ring has been developing facial recognition software in a research and development office in Kiev.
Oh,
that's
nice.
In the Ukraine.
Nice.
2018.
You know, something's going on in the Ukraine.
They're very cooperative with us. Anyway, that was in a hearing led by Senator Ed Markey. I mean, a question by Senator Ed Markey in a letter on November 1st that referenced the privacy notice of facial feature information. So you got the one spokesman said, wait a minute, us do that?
Never.
And then when they get something in writing from a U.S. senator, oh, yeah, we're doing that
Kiev,
in Ukraine.
That's only for the Kiev.
So, well, anyway, we have more here to tell you about, but we will. Oh, let me just give you the. I won't read it, but I will just tell you that in the next article, we were going to tell you about the Amazon crime fighting initiative to create neighborhood watch lists, so that you know if you see somebody suspicious, they will tag it, get the facial recognition, and when that person goes somewhere else, we'll be watching them.
I'm moving to Tennessee.
It's all to
going
keep
back
you safe.
With Kentucky, down in the holler.
Hey, watch out for those cameras.
The doorbell's your dog, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well,
you know what? You're right. The deer stand. You know, because they got the cameras out there looking for deer. The facial recognition.
Right.
Yeah. For you know, they got it everywhere.
We're gonna recognize the deer.
Yeah. Well, you saw the advertisements for Microsoft, right? Where they have these cameras out in the middle of nowhere, and they're allegedly, you know, tracking spotted lions or spotted, spotted leopards. That's what it is. But they're not really tracking spotted leopards.
I think you've been having too much. Too much coffee.
You're listening to AM 1490, WWPR, Bradenton, Sarasota, Tampa Bay.
If you enjoy the trading and investment ideas you hear on Talking Markets with Mark and Andy, then you're going to want to become a member of their SeekingCryptos.com membership service. And you can join for absolutely free. When you sign up for a free membership at SeekingCryptos.com, you'll start receiving analysis and perspective by email on trade examples, cryptocurrencies, stocks, metals, educational content, and exclusive offers. SeekingCryptos.com has something for you advanced traders, too. Check out the premium membership, the expert swing trades, or the Quant Geeks packages. Seeking Cryptos has skin in the game just like you. They post their trades in real time, and you can follow the results right on their portfolio page. So what are you waiting for? Go to SeekingCryptos.com and sign up for your free membership now.
Alcover Massage has been providing quality massage therapy in Bradenton for over 5 years, and we are proud and excited to announce we've expanded our practice and boutique to a larger facility. Located at the historic downtown Bradenton, we're in a charming craftsman-style building across the street from the Spring Hill Suites by Marriott. Alcover Massage offers many treatment rooms, a spacious lobby, and doorfront parking spaces just for our clients. But what we're most proud of is our highly qualified massage therapists offering great service to our valued clients. Availability and instant booking is found at lauraalcover.com. Alcover Massage. Like us on Facebook, 204 13th Street West, Bradenton, Florida, 34205. Book your appointments now at lauraalcover.com or call us at 941-592-3187. MM number 34081. MA number 50525.